Hello and welcome to Burst Radio for the South Coast Football Review. My name is Ben Bonzi.
And my name is Tommy Churchyard.
In this show, we're going to be covering what has been a remarkable season for most clubs across the South Coast.
First of all, we'll be starting with the big boys in the area, with our Premier League representatives Southampton FC and AFC Bournemouth, and heading down to Pompey in League 2 to review their season.
We won't be done there, as we will also be covering all the action from non-league this season.
We kick off today with AFC Bournemouth, whose season has ended in controversy after events that unfolded on Sunday. The Cherries were due to play against Manchester United at Old Trafford, but the game was abandoned due to a suspect package being found in one of the toilets, which was later discovered to be a fake bomb, left behind after a training exercise carried out during the week by a security company. The match has been rearranged for 8pm tonight, which will cap off Bournemouth's historic first season in the Premier League. Despite being odds on for relegation at the beginning of the season, the Cherries have defied all expectations to ensure they will still be in the Premier League next year.
So Tommy, how have Bournemouth got on in the Premier League this season?
Well, the Cherries currently sit 16th in the table on 42 points, and they play their last game of the season tonight. A win would ensure they finish 14th in the league, just 5 points behind last year's champions Chelsea, which would be a fantastic achievement for the club. Their successful campaign is made all the more remarkable when considering the amount of injury problems they've had to deal with early on in the season. Club record signing Tyrone Mings only made one appearance before he was ruled out for the whole season, with Callum Wilson and Max Gradle also missing the majority of the campaign. So all in all, the season has been a great success for Eddie Howe's men.
It was a brilliant first season in the Premier League, but it wasn't all perfect, was it?
No, it wasn't. Bournemouth's rise to fame has come at a cost. They received a £7.6 million fine for breaking financial fair play rules, which was due to a £38 million loss suffered last season. This obviously poses the question whether Bournemouth can realistically become a stable Premier League club in the future, because they can't continue to run on a loss. But they laid down a big statement of intent yesterday, rejecting a £25 million bid from West Ham for Stargio, Callum Wilson and Matt Ritchie. They may have to sell some key players in the summer to ensure they don't get in trouble with financial fair play again. But for now, Bournemouth fans can enjoy the moment. And earlier, I spoke to Cherries fan Jason Lewis, who attended their abandoned match at Old Trafford on Sunday, and he gave us his account on the evacuation of the ground.
Probably says it's pretty a surreal experience. Still trying to, 2 days on now, get my head around completely how the day went, really. Everything in the build-up to game as normal, looking forward to ending our season in a real sort of celebration atmosphere, going up on the coach. I think left around 7 in the morning. Got to Manchester just before 1 o'clock. Walked around the area, went for a drink in the local bar, and then got to the ground sort of standard time, about 2:30, and sat in my seat at a pretty great view of probably one of the best stadiums in the country, and really looking forward to the game. It was a real party atmosphere, inflatable beach balls and all sorts flying around the stands, and then suddenly it all just took a turn at around 2:45, really, and then from then on, a very sort of a phase of being very distressed, and then once getting out of the stadium, sort of relief, and on the coach back home, sort of a realisation of what sort of happened, started to sink in. It was shocking, I'd say, would be the overall feeling.
So obviously you were on the side that wasn't initially evacuated. What was it like seeing sort of the opposite side of the ground just being evacuated? Were you scared?
It was quite daunting, to say the least. I spoke to my brother about this, and weirdly enough, on the match day programme, on the back of the programme, they had a safety procedure, and I've gone to 32 games this season. I don't think I've read a safety procedure once. I don't know if they're always on the back of the programme, but I decided for some reason at the pub I was going to read the safety procedure and knew that they could evacuate the ground in sections. So people around me were quite panicky, and I was trying to sort of say to them, well, I think they're doing this as a precaution. We will be safe here. If we weren't safe, they would get us out. But it was definitely frightening, because we were just being told on the tannoy to just stay where we were sat until further announcements. That went on from about 10 to 3 when the first people started to leave, all the way up until about 10 past 3. And I had people on my phone telling me what was going on. They were finding out more from Sky Sports than we were being told in the stands, which was the frustrating thing, to be honest, that I had someone text me saying the game was abandoned, and it wasn't for another 5 to 10 minutes before actually we got told in the stadium that the game was abandoned. So the communication was very frustrating in the ground, and there was definitely panic, and especially a lot of young children around, families. It was obviously distressing for them, and hopefully it hasn't left a bad mark on their sort of views on football in this country?
So, although the season ended on a damp note, overall, most people see Bournemouth's season as a success. Are you pleased with how it's gone?
Absolutely. Any position above 18th for the start of the year, I would have bitten your hand off, really. I think credit to the players. They've been exceptional year. Some great results in there. Winning at Chelsea stands out, beating Man United at home. And over the sort of coming over setbacks all year with injuries and then the Harry Arter story that's been well reported on, we've just kept plugging away. And really credit has to go to Eddie Howe for keeping a level head at all times and not panicking and really making sure that it was a season to remember. And it's certainly going to be tough next year, but I think with him at the helm, we've got every chance of staying in the league and if not finishing even higher next year.
So next up, we move on to Ronald Koeman's Southampton, who've had another record-breaking season in the Premier League. Last campaign, they finished 7th with a total of 60 points, but this time round, they've pushed the bar even higher, amassing 63 points. They currently sit 5th in the league and have to wait for the rearranged match between Man U and AFC Bournemouth to find out whether they'll stay there. They need South Coast rivals Bournemouth to do them a favour and beat United to secure top 5 finish and entrance into the Europa League qualifying stage. If United manage to win or draw, then Saints will finish 6th, enter the qualifying rounds for the European competition.
So Ben, remind me how their season went.
The season started off well, a total of 5 wins, including an impressive away win at struggling Chelsea, and a home 2-0 victory against South Coast rival Bournemouth. This meant that after 12 games, Southampton were sitting comfortably in 7th.
Great start, but it was an awful end to 2015 for them, wasn't it?
Absolutely. A shocking couple of months as Saints saw the men in red and white pick up an abysmal 4 points from a possible 24 in the Premier League. This poor run of form meant they were in 13th position, only 7 points from the relegation zone. Alongside this, they were knocked out of the League Cup in a home thrashing by Liverpool, which saw Jurgen Klopp's men bag six goals in a 6-1 dressing down of the Saints.
Yeah, I remember the manager actually calling the players out and telling them to sort it out, or they would be fighting relegation. This seemed to work, though, as after Christmas it all changed for the Saints.
And what a turnaround it was. At the start of the year 2016, they were only second to champions Leicester in points total for the year. Leicester managed to get 42 points, while Ronald Koeman put together an impressive tally of 39 points. In the last 10 games, Saints went on to only lose 1 game whilst winning 7. Some of the highlights on this run of form were being 4-2 home win against Man City, an away triumph for White Hart Lane, and also stunning comeback against Liverpool to win 3-2. This excellent end of season form left the team sitting in 5th place waiting on tonight's game between Manchester United and AFC Bournemouth. Southampton season ticket holder Aidan Small joins us.
Hi Aidan.
Hello, guys.
What a season. What was the turning point for you?
Well, at the start of the season, as it's been well documented, it was a weird, rough patch of a season. But the real turning point for me that really, really took the season around was Shane Long's introduction to the side. And that's something we were really missing, in that energy in the front line, defending from the front line once again. We began to leak goals too much, and we began to get that fluidity and enjoyment in our attack once again, that with Pella things slightly began to be a little slower and hold-up play was becoming slow, it was becoming sloppy. And with Shane, it was a new introduction to the side, and it was something we haven't seen in a while, someone at the front of our line with a bit of pace.
For you, what was the highlight of the season?
Only one real memory here. We've had a few brilliant results against big teams, but one stands out in my mind, and that's the Liverpool comeback. That was just simply sensational. To be there in your first 20 minutes and sat there at the ground and thinking, you know, this game's dead and buried, this game is finished. And I remember the chance falling to Joe Allen for him to bury it, and it goes into the bottom corner. I'm thinking, that's 3-0, that's the game done. And, you know, the goal got disallowed, and still fans were sitting there just absolutely fuming, shouting from there. And only to go and turn it around to 3-2 was absolutely incredible. I remember I had my younger brother I brought along with me to that game, and it's one of his first game of this season. He's 10 years old. I remember turning around, seeing his face, watching that. That was an incredible moment in the season. I think one of the greatest games St. Mary's has ever seen.
Obviously, you lost a few big names at the start of the season. How well have the likes of Clarke and Van Dijk fitted in?
Yeah, I think Van Dijk was the big one for us. I mean, we saw in the Europa League and in the early games that Stephen Caulker, who plugged the gap of Toby Alderweireld, just wasn't good enough. That play from the back was becoming hoofball, as we remember in that away trip to Marjet Land, the football was absolutely dreadful. But with Van Dijk, we got a cool, assured head at the back. And I mean, he won the Players' Player and the Fans' Player of the Season. That's testament to how brilliant of a season he's had. And whilst I think Clutty's shown glimpses of what he can do here and there, and he's had a few nice moments, he's become a little more invisible. One for me who's really, really stood out as the bargain buyer that window is Ori Romelu for $5 million. And, you know, his career looked to be steering off a little, and it looked to be like he'd just be another player that just sits on the edges of a squad and goes out on loan moves. But moving to Stampton, he looks to be loving his football. Koeman absolutely loves him. Romelu seems to have really embedded himself into the Stampton team here, and he's put in some fantastic performances. He's a real fan favourite down there.
So where do you feel the squad needs to improve next season?
Well, I think the main positions that we should be looking at is a new winger. We definitely like some more injection of pace up top, preferably on the right wing. I know Oxlade-Chamberlain's been one that's been rumoured with us, and it would make sense. Another spot is the right-back spot, and I think Gregory Van der Veel would be a fantastic addition in right-back. You know, whilst we've had Cedric, who showed glimpses again at the start of the season, Martinez showing some nice form at the end of the season, I think all Saints fans would agree that that's still a spot that we've got to sort out. We've got to get a first-team guaranteed starter, someone who's assured in defending, and is a brilliant outlet in the attack. My final position would be a goal-scoring attacking midfielder as well. Gylfi Sigurdsson is a name mentioned by a few fans that they'd like to see. You know, he's clinical in the box, and I believe he hit the double figures for Swansea this season as well. So that'd be a nice addition to the squad off the forward. He'd be brilliant with the knockdowns of Shane Long and the pace that we've got with the cutbacks. I think a player like Gylfi, or a goal-scoring clinical finisher on the edge of the box, maybe even a Hakim Ziyech. He's been superb this season in the Eredivisie. If we could get a goal-scoring attacking midfielder, Stampton would have quite the front line.
All right, thank you very much, Aidan.
No problem.
Cheers. Portsmouth began the 2015-2016 campaign with a promising start. An unbeaten pre-season and a hard-fought win against Championship side Derby in the Capital One Cup within the first week of the long season. In their first 9 games in the league campaign, they were unbeaten, winning 5. This put them right up the top and firm favourites to gain promotion.
So a brilliant start there for Pompey. How did the season fare from there?
Yeah, a great start. However, unfortunately for Portsmouth and their fans, their season was an inconsistent one, with many ups and downs. Pompey finished the season 6th place with a total of 78 points, warranting them a chance of promotion via the playoffs, in which they lost 3-2 on aggregate to Plymouth.
Well, today, South Coast Radio are lucky enough to be joined by Ashley Brown, head of the Supporters Trust at Portsmouth FC.
Good afternoon, Ashley, and thank you for coming in.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Obviously a disappointing result on Sunday afternoon with Plymouth scoring the final second to the game. How do you feel this will affect the team morale into next season?
I don't think that will have any negative impact on morale. In fact, I think it'll be positive. I think the players desperately wanted to get up this season and desperately wanted to get to Wembley in the playoffs, and I'm sure they'll be even more positive about achieving that next season.
Do you think it will make them more determined to achieve automatic promotion, or dishearten them by being so close to Wembley?
No, I think automatic promotion always has to be the primary goal. I mean, if you could guarantee to go up through the playoffs at Wembley, that's the perfect scenario. But of course, as we found out on Sunday, you can't guarantee promotion through the playoffs. In fact, you can't even guarantee getting to Wembley. So you have to target automatic. That's definitely what you're aiming for.
Portsmouth are always going to be favourites to achieve promotion from League Two due to their history and size of the club. Do you think this puts unnecessary pressure on the players and the manager before the season's even begun?
Yeah, I think so. The last 3 seasons, I think we've been made favourites, and I think that was unrealistic on every occasion. We'll probably be favourites again next year. We probably should be up amongst the favourites, but I don't think we should be the favourites. And it impacts us in a number of ways. Actually, I think that a lot of clubs come to Fratton Park. It's a big, big game for them throughout the season. They all look at when Pompey are coming to them or when they're coming to Pompey, and it's a cup final for many of those teams, and that makes life difficult for us. But, you know, we have to get on and deal with it, and we have to be able to beat these teams and get ourselves into that automatic spot.
So is Portsmouth secure in the playoffs and a top 6 finish this season seen as a good season by the supporters, or do you think they're expecting more?
I think it's definite improvement on the last 2 years. Things have moved on a huge amount. We've seen far more entertaining and composed football at Fratton Park. We haven't got everything right, obviously. Some of our home performances have been frustrating. Away, we've been excellent for the majority of this season. Overall, we targeted to get promoted, so obviously it's a disappointment. We've underachieved on what we aim for, but you know, we've still seen significant improvement.
Can you see Portsmouth achieving promotion in the near future, or is it still a building process until the club are ready?
It'll be the target for next year again.
All right, thank you very much for joining us, Ashley.
Thank you.
Now we move a little lower down the footballing pyramid as we take a look at non-league clubs in the South Coast. Oh. Moving further down, we go into non-league, where the glitz and glam of the Premier League seems a long way away to most clubs.
Starting in the National League, we look at Eastleigh FC.
How have they fared this season, Ben?
Well, it's been a season of frustration for Eastleigh. They went into the campaign being one of the favourites to gain promotion from the National League Conference. They were in contention all season, but eventually missed out on the playoffs by 5 points, meaning they finished 7th place.
They did have an eventful FA Cup, though.
Yes, they managed to reach the FA Cup third round for the first time in their history. They hosted Championship side Bolton Wanderers in January and held them to a 1-1 draw at home. In the replay at Bolton, they were desperately unlucky to lose out 3-2. I went to both games and the atmosphere is electric, especially at Bolton. The Eastleigh fans were in full voice. The club received a huge financial boost from their cup run, which, as we know, means a lot to non-league clubs.
So where did it all go wrong in the league this season?
I think they may have got too caught up in the FA Cup and the hype surrounding it. After the original draw at Bolton and the start of January, they failed to win in 7 games, picking up just 2 points out of 21. A run in which the end would cost them a chance to reach the playoffs and try and get into League Two.
Well, now we have Will Evans, who is featured heavily for Eastleigh FC, joining us live. Hi, Will.
Hello. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
How do you think your team has fared this season?
I think everyone at the end of the season was disappointed. We expected to at least reach the playoffs. I think, where you look around the changing rooms, and it was like we had some very, very good players. And like I said, I think we were all disappointed not to make the playoffs, at least, to be honest.
Who stood out in the team this year for you?
I'd probably say Joe Partington. He played he was always consistent, always played very well. Andy Drury was probably one of our best players as well. He's very, very talented. I'd say those two were probably two of the best ones that stood out. Even Ross Flitney, to be honest, I think I played with him 3 years now, and that was probably the best season I've seen him have, to be honest, as well.
So what was it like playing a big club like Bolton in the FA Cup and getting so much national media coverage?
Yeah, it's always good. Obviously, the FA Cup, you always want to try and get the biggest club you can possibly get. And obviously, where we drew at home, we got to play away at Bolton's ground, which is always nice as well. Just the atmosphere, the stadium and stuff, it's a big difference, to be honest.
How do you think Eastleigh will do next season after coming so close this year?
I think they'll do well. I think all the lads they probably bring in, they'll be all up for the challenge to reach League Two, which is, I know what Stuart Donald, the chairman, that's his ambition for the club. That's what he come in for. So I don't think it'll be too much longer before they're there, to be honest.
And on a personal note, what are your ambitions for next season?
Well, currently just going to try and find a club that suits me, and I'm going to, hopefully, if I can find the right club, I would obviously want to be trying pushing for the League Two as well, for the playoff, for the promotion. That's my personal ambition, to be honest.
Thank you very much for joining us, Will.
No worries.
Now it's time to talk about Pooltown. They go into the 2016-17 season as Southern Premier League Division champions. The Dolphins, who are newly promoted to the National League South, will be facing the likes of Welling next season as they look to progress through the Football League. How did they fare this season, Ben?
Well, having narrowly missed out on promotion last season, Paul didn't make the same mistake again, netting 86 goals and accumulating 93 points throughout the season. Manager Tom Killick kept a good group of players together and they strolled to the league title this time around. Definitely worthy champions.
Well, early on today, we spoke with Tony Lee, who was on loan at Poole from Eastleigh this season. We asked him how good it did it feel to get promoted with Poole Town this season.
Going to Poole was the last couple of seasons, and to be fair, settled in there really well. And I really enjoyed it. To get promoted with a good group of lads was very good. And especially at 19, to win a league title was not too bad.
How do you think they'll fare next season?
I think with Tommy in charge, I think they've got a very good chance of staying up. I don't know what the league's going to be like next year, so it's hard to say where they'll finish, but I think they've definitely got a strong chance of staying up with the backing of the chairman and the vice chairman. I think they'll do very well next year.
Paul had a bit of a dodgy spell when you joined. They kept losing and drawing and weren't really grinding out results. How hard was it to keep your head in the team, even though you knew you were favourites to win the league?
After what happened last year, from what I heard about last game of the season, losing it, I think it was always in the back of our mind. But we knew we had the best team in the league, and if we kept doing things right, things would pay off. And we kept doing the simple things right, and it paid off in the end.
How would you evaluate Eastleigh's season? Are they disappointed with not making the playoffs?
I think with the players that we brought in at the start of the season, I think everybody's got to be a bit disappointed with how the playoffs not reaching them went. But I think at the end of the day, it was our own downfall.
How do you think Eastleigh are going to do next season?
I think now the chairman and the manager have had time to sit down and evaluate what went wrong. I think you've got quite a bit of time to put it right, bring in some fresh faces. Yeah, probably a bit better than what we had last year, and a bit more consistency. And I think we all want to get promoted, and I think the players that you're going to bring in are going to want to get promoted as well.
So how would you say your season went?
Personally, I think it was a bit up and down, to be fair, because as quite a few people know, I've had quite a few clubs this year. I think it's about five clubs, so it's been a bit up and down.
You scored a few goals for Poole and you did really well at Totten. How much does someone like Jamie Vardy give you hope to reach the league?
Oh, massively. Seeing what Jamie Vardy's done over the last few years, I think gives every non-league striker hope. If he can do it, especially with hard work and dedication, I think anybody can do it.
And what are your personal hopes for the future?
I want to play as hard as I can. If that's if it's not in the Premier League, it's not in the Premier League, but I want to play for the to the best I can. If that's in the conference, it's in the conference. But as long as I want to make a career out of football, so as long as I do that, if it's at Eastleigh or if it's not, then I'll be happy.
Alright, thank you very much for joining us, Tony. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Cheers.
So further down in the football ladder, we head to the Wessex League, where we have big boys Salisbury FC, managed by Steve Claridge, and also 2014 FA Vars winners Scholling FC.
So Tommy, how did they both get on this season?
To start with, I'd like to mention how Salisbury, the former Conference Premier side, have had an almighty fall from grace over the past 3 years after entering administration and dissolving as a club altogether. They were demoted all the way down to the Wessex League. This is then where former Pompey manager Steve Claridge took over as manager. The season for Salisbury went as expected. They managed to win the league and by a large margin over second place Scholling. They finished the season on 105 points, this being 20 points ahead of Scholling. Throughout the season, they were always in touching distance from the teams below them, but a run of form towards the end of the season meant they finished way ahead and deservedly so. Also, in the FA Vars, they also managed to experience a Wembley dream. However, they fell at the last hurdle by losing in the semi-final 3-1 on aggregate to Hereford. Salisbury now go into next season as one of the favourites to be promoted from Southern League Division 1 into the Southern League Premier.
So, on the whole fantastic season for Salisbury, so I heard you mention there that were Scholling that finished second. How did their season pan out?
Yeah, a brilliant season from Salisbury and a good one for Scholling too. They finished as runners-up to Salisbury after being in touching distance most of the way, but Salisbury proved too strong and ran away with it. The Boatmen, as they are known, won 10 of their last 11 games to pip Blackford and Andover to second place on the last game of the season. Their player of the season, striker Dan Mason, finished as club top scorer with 39 goals. placing him second in the league Golden Boot competition. Hi, Greg.
Hello.
What are your aims as a club going forward into the next year?
We're going to be in the middle of a transitional period. We started the season with a three-year plan in process, so we're going into year two of our three-year plan, and that is to basically to develop from within the club through our youth system, and we've actually started off exceptionally better than we anticipated by bringing 10 of our under 18 lads through to play within the first team setup, which is a credit to their ability at their age.
What's your take on the whole campaign?
For this current season, initially at the beginning of the season, we thought that the Wessex League obviously was going to be very, very strong, and we honestly thought our expectations were probably to finish fourth. That would have been sort of our overall expectations with the way we were forming the squad and everything. But obviously the lads worked very, very well together in the last sort of 2 months of the campaign, and we just gradually pulled everybody in and finished a credible second, albeit behind Salisbury, who were absolutely fantastic this season, as to be expected.
Thank you very much for joining us, Greg.
No worries at all.
So here's our previews for next season. How do you think Bournemouth will fare then?
Well, I believe Bournemouth will survive again next term. They seem strong enough this season, so next season I'm thinking similar place finish. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. Providing that they can keep hold of their key players like Callum Wilson, Max Grado and Simon Francis, they'll have record signing Tyrone Mings back next season, and if they can strengthen in other areas, they'll be strong enough to survive again.
What do you reckon on Southampton's chances next season?
Well, I think if they can retain Ronald Koeman's services as manager, I believe they're sure to get another Europa League finish next season. And, that's 100% within their reach. What do you think about the Saints then, Ben, as you're a Saints fan even?
Yeah, depends on who we keep and who we sell. I'll be happy if we can get decent money for Mane and Wanyama, but it depends if we get decent replacements. We need to strengthen the right back, as Aidan said, but I think it could be another successful season.
So how do you see your rivals Pompey's hopes?
Well, they should have been promoted this year. They are far too big to be in League 2, with similar teams like Northampton getting promoted. Next season, promotion has to be the minimum aim, otherwise maybe you see a change in manager. How about you?
Yeah, I totally agree. They're definitely a much bigger club than League 2. They've been in there for a while now, so surely promotion must be achieved next season. Their fan base is massive for that division, so hopefully they'll be able to put it together the next season to reward their fans for their loyalty.
Finally, a word on the England squad. Southampton players Fraser Forster and Ryan Bertrand have been called into the initial 26. I think their call-ups are more than deserved. I don't think they'll start in the finals, but both men are fantastic backups. How do you feel?
Yeah, I completely agree. Both men deserve their place in the squad. Personally, I believe Bertrand could take the left-back spot from Danny Rose, as he's a fine full-back, whereas Forster is definitely a good backup to Joe Hart.
Do you think that any Bournemouth players could have got called up? There are talks of the likes of Adam Smith getting called up and a Cook. Do you reckon they could have got the chance?
Well, maybe, but at the end of the day, I think I'm pleased with our England squad, and I think, you know, it would have been hard to strengthen it. Obviously, Matt Ritchie would have been there had Scotland managed to earn themselves qualification, but they couldn't quite manage it. I'm sure in the future Bournemouth will have more people pushing for England starts. You know, likes of Callum Wilson's got to be in contention if he gets a full season next year.
That's all for South Coast Football Review today. Thank you for listening to Burst Radio, and thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you very much.